My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. As they say in the theatre programmes, the cast in order of appearance. John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. John, you first then. The composer of this opera ballet was admired by Beethoven, quarrelled with Napoleon, was derided by Berlioz, and is nowadays seldom performed. The Hanover Band, in part of the overture to Who's Anacreon? John.
Oh, it's Cherubini.
Cherubini
that
wrote.
I knew. And I came across a nice story. I was looking in a book called 1902, Musician's Wit. And it tells a story about Cherubini, that he was travelling along the boulevard one day. He lived in Paris. And it started to rain. And a man who recognised him, who was a fan of Cherubini's, drew up in his one-man carriage and said, "Maître, please take my carriage, otherwise you'll get wet." And so Cherubini said, "Thank you," and he got into the carriage. The man said, "Well, I'm going the other way, but as it's beginning to rain, would you lend me your umbrella, Maître?" He said, "No, I never lend my umbrella to anybody." And in this book, you know, as Punch, you know, always can't leave the punchline alone, it goes on saying, "Whatever you think of his courtesy, there are no two opinions about his prudence."
A good moral tale, yeah.
Here's musicians for you.
Frank, rather more up-to-date than Cherubini. This was the young Vera Lynn with Ambrose and his band, singing about Cinderella.
Clock is striking, I'll hold you. At the stroke of 12, don't run away. Oh, can't you hear my heart? It begs you to
stay. Lovely true voice.
Lovely. She sounded just like she always has.
Yeah.
She then, even very young. The Cinderella plot, Frank, and that glass slipper.
I know it will.
Well, I know it's dangerous to talk to you about derivations and origins and things, but what, in your view, was the origin of the glass slipper?
Oh, yes. This
yeah,
is the
verre,
isn't it? Yes. En verre, yes. Which the French could be V-A-I-R, which is fur, or could be V-E-R-R-E, which is glass. The actual slipper was one designed by Hannah Glass in the 18th century, the cookery expert. And instead of drinking champagne from it, she arranged that they could you could actually serve a roast pork and two veg.
Never know quite what to believe on this programme. Well, anyway, I'll tell you what it says here. It says, une pantoufle en verre, meaning fur, mistranslated for glass. Yes, I like your...
You could have pantoufle in it as well.
Yeah, with chips.
The thing, the real difficulty about those slippers, about that glass slipper, is why didn't that change back at the stroke of midnight like all the rest of it?
Oh, yes.
why didn't it? I mean...
I don't know.
I mean, it did.
Ian, a little jazz, I think. It is, in fact, Jelly Roll Morton giving his impression of George Melly, recorded when George was 3 months old.
Hello, Stanton, give me that to jazz. He's got what I need, I say. Big, he's guy that gets me fixed. Hello, Sandra, give me that jazz.
Yes, Dr. Jazz. Ian, since you are now a doctor of music, I thought we ought to sort out briefly who a number of musical doctors were. So where will I find, please, Dr. Bartolo, Dr. Miracle, and Dr. Dulcamara?
Well, you will find Dr. Bartolo, the crusty old doctor, never quite sure whether he was a doctor of law or a doctor of medicine, although I sang the part many times, in Il Barbiere di Siviglia, the Barber of Seville.
Doctor
of Seville,
that's right. Yeah. Dr. Miracle?
Dr. Miracle is Tales of Hoffmann.
Yes, or a one-act Bizet opera. And then Dr. Dulcamara.
Oh, Dr. Dulcamara is the marvellously bogus quack doctor in Donizetti L'Elisir d'Amore, who sold this elixir of love, but it was actually just a bottle of cheap wine.
Yes.
But he was a very good salesman.
Works just as well.
Dennis, your turn. This is a very short composition and a very familiar one, and yet, in a sense, it's two compositions. How's that?
It's 20th century Fox theme. What are they going to call themselves, do you think?
Interesting question.
What was the other?
Well, Alfred Newman wrote it, and then there was this extra string bit on the end. Do you know what that was for?
What was?
Oh, well, I think you lose half a mark here. It was Alfred Newman's fanfare for 20th century Fox films, but they subsequently added that other music as the CinemaScope extension.
Wide music. There was a great, great American screenwriter, one of the greats, called Natalie Johnson. And, of course, when CinemaScope came in, everybody was all agog about it. And a reporter said to him, "Are you going to write your films any differently now that CinemaScope is in?" He said, "Yes, I shall put the paper in the typewriter sideways."
Right. Hearing something is one thing, overhearing it is another.
I heard, yes, I heard. No, it wasn't told to me, still I heard.
Wasn't told to me, still I heard. I heard that Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands, at an orchestral concert, peered down at the players from the royal box and loudly asked a lady-in-waiting, "Tell me, what do these people do during the day?" I wonder if you have anything to report along similar lines, an overheard saying, a misunderstanding of the facts of life for a musician or a performer or writer even.
Well, I went to a performance of Mahler's Sixth Symphony, conducted by the Klaus Tennstedt, London Philharmonic Orchestra, and the chairman of the trustees, admittedly is a property developer, not a musician, said to Tennstedt at dinner, "Do you really need all those instruments?"
Good Lord, yes.
There was Michael Elliott, who was a late Michael Elliott, who was a wonderful producer and theatre director, was directing an opera, and for the first time was having great difficulty with it, getting it exactly right. And he was called the cast round and was trying to work out what they could do to get over this thing. And there was a boom, 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 boom. And there's an electrician way up on the top putting some wiring in and sort of banging away happily. And they were all distraught at this noise. Eventually, Michael said, "Look, we've got a bit of a problem here. Could you just keep quiet and give us 10 minutes? And the chap said, "You want to try doing a day's work, mate?"
You get the idea now. Ian, has anything like this happened in your knowledge?
One of the things about appearing, as I did for a time, in soap opera, is that when you meet viewers of this thing, they think of you in your, and talk to you in your persona, as your part. Once at Gatwick Airport, an old lady came up to me and clasped me by the hand and said, "Tell me, is it you or Murdoch that gets Florence?" So I said, "Well, I'm afraid I'm not allowed to tell you." So she said, well, all I can say is, if it's Murdoch, she's got no taste.
Take the high road, was that?
Take the high road, yes.
Dennis. Well, studio where we're doing this, this broadcast from used to be many, many decades ago one of two cinemas in London that showed French films, and we young Herberts used to go to see a bit of Smuts, you see. And the other one was the Academy, and there was a French film on there with the most blindingly daring moment at that time that I'd ever seen. And it's a cliche now, but it's the scene where you see the boy and the girl on the sofa, and they kiss, and then it went to black, and when it faded out, and there was a line of their clothing across the floor from the sofa to another door, which was obviously a bedroom, and we were absolutely aghast. And from behind me, one woman said to another, all over the floor for someone else to pick up.
I think it's enormously encouraging that this that our studio, you know, was once a place of entertainment.
Well, now to the piano. I've strung together 8 bits of familiar tunes to be identified, and I think I ought to warn John and Frank that the first two come pretty close together.
Agreed.
In fact, they overlap. Equally, I ought to warn Ian and Dennis that the last one scarcely exists at all. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Well,
it's fun.
Well, it's still Mozart, isn't it?
Yes, it's Mozart. It's Fantasia in D minor. But it led into...
Tristan and Isolde.
Yes.
We started.
Yes, from Tristan, yeah.
Third one, you go.
Yeah.
Fly me to the moon.
Thank you.
And let me... And something else among the stars.
Right. And then?
Prize song from Meistersinger.
Singer, yes. Then, Ian, over to your side, I think. Here we go.
I've got a complete mental block.
Yes,
on
yes.
Does anybody know?
Yeah.
Pardon?
Intermezzo.
Yeah, from, thank you.
Cavalleria
Rusticana by Mascagni.
Too late.
Did
too late.
Not get it, no. And yeah. Then...
Unfinished, Schubert.
Yes, it was unfinished by Schubert, yes. Da di di da di.
Love's Old Sweet Song.
Yes.
And just a song at twilight.
Last one. Usually in this song.
Oh, Les Sylphides.
Well, not your finest hour.
No, not my finest hour by a long chalk.
No. Let's hear a bit more music on records. John, a rather nasty accident takes place as we join Charles Dutoit and the Montreal Symphony Orchestra.
Goon show, they used to say, he's fallen in the water.
Yes. Yes. Who would that be who's fallen in the water? Yeah.
It's his dog.
Yes, it's a dog.
It's a dog he's fallen in the water.
Yes. Of course. Because it comes from Elgar's...
The Enigma Variations.
Yes, it's a musical depiction of somebody's dog falling in the River Severn, wasn't it? Right. Frank, this is... I think it's interesting. This is the very beginning of a Sondheim musical.
White. A blank page or canvas? The challenge... Bring order to the whole. Through design, composition, tension. Balance. Light. And harmony.
George, Frank. Who's George?
It wasn't. It was George.
Yes, that's right, George.
It was a,
yes.
A dotty impressionist painter called Seurat.
Yes, Quantinist, yes, George. Seurat, from the show?
Yes, from the show.
And the show. All right, toy with me then.
Was there a number in that called Que Sera Sera?
Que Sera. No, good idea. The show's Sunday in the Park with George. Ian, for you, a highly familiar song, but a not so familiar tenor voice.
I think that I shall never see.
I have a kind of a feeling.
Yes,
that it's either Mario Lanza or me.
Yes, it was you. I have apologised for playing one of your 33 and a third records at 45. That's why it was in that funny key, of course.
I used in years gone by, no longer, but I used to actually do that sometimes if a party wasn't going very well, with certain recordings work very well.
Thank you, yeah. The lyric of that song, Trees, you know, that line, the tree whose hungry mouth is pressed
against
to
the earth's
warm, loving, sweet flowing breast.
Flowing, is
that's
it? Yes.
Pretty strong stuff, isn't it?
In those days, it must have been very strong.
What did you expect? Written by a man called Joyce.
I mean to say. Dennis, this is Helen Merrill singing a French song, but I'm banking on the fact that you'll remember the English words.
Vous m'éblouissez comme un astre que l'on ne peut fixer, comme un clair soleil d'amour où mon cœur va soudain briller en trop grand.
Dennis, what do you go to? What do you linger like? And what do I find you going round like?
You go to my head. What, you linger like a haunting refrain. And I find you spinning round in my brain like the bubbles in a glass of champagne.
Thank you. Absolutely right.
That was our friend Fred Coutts wrote that.
J. Fred Coutts.
Yes. Best named composer. Yeah.
It wasn't him singing,
was it? No, it was Helen Merrill. Here's something quite remarkable. The cello playing of a glamorous young lady called Ofra Hanoi. Sounds almost too high for a cello, but a cello it is. Tuned, as all cellos are, to the notes C, G, D and A. All cellists know those tuning notes, but just suppose one of them had a slight attack of amnesia. Can we suggest a mnemonic for him or for her? A sequence of four words that will always be a reminder of those notes. C, G, D, A. C, G, D, A. Who's going to be first? Anybody got one?
Catgut droning away.
Very appropriate, actually.
Conductor guns down alto.
Any other?
Calibiate gargling diminishes acne.
No,
the other thing is curried. Can I have another one?
Mm,
curried goat. Delicious? Awful.
Ian, do you have one?
Crystallized greengages dreadfully acid.
Thank you.
Or comic gorillas dance appallingly.
Chorus girls don't argue.
Little tribute to Vivian Ellis. Our closing section in the show today. Frank sings I'm on a Seesaw.
I'm on a seesaw. You throw me up and you throw me down. I don't know whether I'm here or there. I don't know what those dreams that we saw. You built them up and you knocked them down. I don't know whether you even care. First I was heaven bound. Then I found you turned around. And as I hit the ground, you went up in the air. On the seesaw, you throw me up, you throw me down, and all together, you don't play fair. I did ask for George Shearing, but...
A song with a rather odd number of bars in it, as we discovered. Remember the Hayley Mills film, Whistle Down the Wind? The theme music was composed by Malcolm Arnold, and John recalls it now.
Down the wind and tell it that you're lonely. Just be sure it knows you're lonely for no one but me.
As far as girls are concerned, Dennis is fickle, you may have noticed. Now it's Sophie he's got on the brain.
Little Sophie Green, only 17. She's just an innocent kid, dear Sophie. I call at her home, we sit there all alone. Goodness me, but she is shy, and that's the reason why I go so far with Sophie, on Sophie's sofa, and Sophie goes so far with me. Every time I look into her eyes, I'm done. She's got those kind of eyes, oh mother, save your son. Oh, I know that she trusts me, just like a brother. She likes my company. I swear that I can hear the way her heart is beating, but every time I'm moving close, she starts retreating. I go so far with Sophie, on Sophie's sofa, and Sophie goes less far with me.
Dennis with love on the brain, as usual. For Ian, love is a very light thing.
Love is a very light thing. Love is so fragile and frail. You cannot hold it here in your hand or weigh it on a scale. Cigarette smoke, that's all it is, wispy and curling around. Oh, it takes a lot of love to make a pound. Love is a very light thing, light as a song in the air. How do you start to fill up a heart? How many ounces there? Dragonfly wings, that's all it is, whispering by with no sound. Oh, it takes a lot of love to make a pound.
And that's all, except to tell you about this week's victory. There isn't one. It's a draw. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the programme was produced by Richard Edis.